And welcome to the good, the bad, and the microtransactions. I am the outlaw, Nate Nelson. With me is Frosty.
What's up, man? Good to be back.
Yeah. It was a nice little vacation. I am happy to be back. I've been playing a lot of video games since I got back just because I'm unemployed. I'm unemployed until I move to Washington here in 2 months. So just kind of been applying at jobs and playing tons of games. So I'll probably let you go first just because I got a long list.
Well, you're finally going to pursue your lifelong dream and becoming a Seahawks fan?
Yeah, 12th man for life, bro. I really don't like those fans or those people or that team. But I'm moving there because of more the cheaper rent from I live in California, and the cheaper rent there, and I think just a general scenery change is what I need.
Yeah. So. San Francisco can't be cheap. I hear horror stories.
It's the most expensive place to live in America.
Yeah. And but yeah, you hate Seahawks fans, so now you know how we feel when it comes to Georgia, Bama, and Clemson fans.
I liked Clemson this year just because I was rooting for that quarterback to do well, but at this point I just don't care anymore. Just because, you know, Stanford's looked pretty good, but I don't even know what's going to happen with the 49ers. It's like, honestly, like in five weeks, like, the whole world could just explode with that team and they could fall off the face of the earth, and I would still be confused as I am now. They almost beat the Patriots at one point today, and then they forgot, oh shit, we're the 49ers. And they lost because they're the 49ers.
Yeah. Kaepernick started throwing passes to the ground.
Yeah, he threw 11 straight passes to the ground, actually, he was 7-for-8 or something on in the first half, and then he threw 11 straight incompletions.
All while on his knee.
Well, the secret weapon for the Patriots was just to pull out the national anthem and play that. And when they play that, that's game over. They win.
Ooh,
the Seahawks don't have that problem. They have a guy who's like, nah, I'm about to be tackled, but I'm just going to fucking spin out of it and throw this football like a dart and somehow score a touchdown because I don't make sense. Or, nah, I'm going to go in as a receiver and have my wide receiver play quarterback and throw the ball to me and I'm going to catch this touchdown pass and we're going to win by 20 points.
America!
Fucking, the Seahawks don't make sense. They legit don't make sense. But this is a video game podcast, not a football podcast. What have you been playing, Frosty?
Oh, man. I have been super busy with work. I gotta be honest, I haven't really had much time to play anything different. I have had a chance to play some more Battlefield 1. There's some hardcore servers up now, which is basically just like it sounds, you have no HUD. It's easier to get kills or be killed. the names on your the gamer tags for your teammates don't appear unless you aim at them. So friendly fire is on. So you have to be careful where you're aiming. You know, even with artillery and stuff. In fact, one game I actually was flying a plane and swooped down to do a bombing run. And I checked the score, and I had negative 25 points. And I was like, how did this happen? And I was like, oh, I must have accidentally killed one of my guys with a bombing run. yeah, legit happened. But no, it's a lot of fun. I just unlocked a new sniper rifle.
One of those guys.
Well, everyone's using sniper rifles in this game. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's why.
They're the best weapons. And I don't know. I feel like eventually they might get nerfed.
They better be. That's why I stopped playing.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous, especially on hardcore servers, because basically one shot anywhere, you're dead with a sniper rifle on those servers. So, other than that, I jumped back in Bloodborne. I absolutely love that game. And two, I was helping Resident Daryl from Remember the Loot get some trophies. Me, him, and T-Bird were doing like a little trio co-op playthrough. Basically running from boss to boss because, you know, me and T-Bird have played that game frontwards and backwards multiple times. So, we're really, I guess, experienced in the game. Pro tip, Bloodborne, if you just want to run straight to the boss, you can. You don't have to fight any enemies. Just run straight to the boss.
That's how I finished it, actually. That's how I finished that game, because there's that room you go in where there's just hell of stuff. It's like the Nightmare Realm or something like that, and there's the thing that's shooting at you the whole time. The monster is on like the roof, and he shoots at you with the lasers.
Yeah.
I just ran through that room because I could not do it without doing that.
But that's basically what you have to do. Like, to be honest, you have to run from rock to rock because it's shooting you with those things, and they do a lot of damage. So.
But then you have to fight those three knights, and they're hard as hell.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that game is so good, so good. I can't wait till a sequel. So you know it's coming. But other than that, I still haven't played Everyone's Gone to the Rapture. I have it downloaded. I'm still looking forward to playing that. I haven't dove into that yet. And I just bought Dark Cloud 2 because it was on sale for like $5. That's that PS2 like dungeon crawling RPG. It looks really neat. T-Bird highly recommended it to me. So I mean it's $5. So I picked it up. So yay, more backlog. Other than that, that's about it, man.
Backlog on backlog on backlog. That's how it's supposed to work, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I got home on Thursday, and I had some packages waiting for me. I had a brand new shiny PS4 Pro. Ooh. Yeah, and I have some impressions on that. I had a copy of Watch Dogs 2 waiting for me. And I got Killing Floor, actually, on Friday because I had leftover GameStop points, like reward points. And it was basically free. So that was pretty cool. Oh, and then I traded in like a Wii U controller that I don't have a Wii U anymore, I think. That's how I paid for it.
You kept the Wii U controller?
I accidentally kept the controller. I forgot I had the controller. I traded in the console without the controller.
The Pro controller, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. Because I got it for Bayonetta 2.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, Bayonetta 2 was the best game on Wii U. So first of all, Watch Dogs 2. It's a lot better than Watch Dogs 1. It definitely takes itself less serious, which is super interesting because I remember, like, the first Watch Dogs, I was like, oh, this is such a cool concept. Like, it's so interesting and different. It's got, like, stealth. It's a stealth game in a way, but it's not, like, a stealth game. Like, it's basically, like, you thin out the horde and you can shoot everything else. But that game just didn't work well. Like, there wasn't enough systems to it. Aiden Pierce was an awful character. He was super boring, super lame. The powers really didn't feel like they were that powerful. Like, it was cool to, like, you know, obviously mess with, you know, traffic lights and all that stuff. But nothing really felt great in that game. I ended up having to rush through it. And then the side missions were really boring. But so far, like... what's really cool about this is it takes place in a town I know really well, which is San Francisco Bay Area, which is it's not like an exact replica, obviously, but it's like San Francisco, Oakland, and then where I used to work at Stanford, the San Mateo area. So it's kind of cool. So it's all there, and it's kind of funny to drive around in that game because. I worked in San Francisco for a while when I worked at the news station, and I actually, like, recognize streets and recognize things. I see the Giants Park, AT&T Park. It's called Noodle Park, because Noodle is their Google version. but it's sort of funny to see it because it looks just like AT&T Park. And I remember when I first heard about this game, I guess I can talk about it now. The first time I ever heard about this game was years ago. I was at a Giants game, and it was Gamers Night. And they handed out Assassin's Creed figures that had giant stuff on them. And the guy sitting next to me actually worked at Ubisoft. And he's like, oh, what's your favorite Ubisoft game? And I was like, Assassin's Creed 2. And he's like, oh, did you like Watch Dogs? And I was like, no. I was really hyped for it, but it didn't feel well. And he's like, well, I'm working on Watch Dogs 2, and I can guarantee you it's going to be as good as Assassin's Creed 2 was compared to Assassin's Creed 1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've actually known Watch Dogs 2 is coming out way before they announced it this year.
Assassin's Creed 2 was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. That game is still one of the best of all time, I think.
Yeah, I think if you know Assassin's Creed now gets a lot of bad rep, but you know I think people should go out and buy the Ezio Collection when it comes out because
Ezio Collection, really yeah. The Ezio Collection or Syndicate. Syndicate's really good as well. if you haven't played Syndicate, it's actually a pretty good Assassin's Creed game.
Okay.
But then, so I've been playing Watch Dogs 2. It's really good. The characters are awesome. Marcus Holloway is just a great character. He's just like, I mean, he's totally what you would think a hacking guy would be like in the Bay Area. And, like, his group of misfits is super interesting. There's some humor in it. Like, this guy Wrench is just the weirdest dude on the planet. He's one of the characters you hear a lot. The missions are... Yeah, the guy with the mask. Yeah, his name's Wrench. The missions are just great. They're just... Like, every mission I've played is so good. And then, like, the stealthy elements are done much better. Like, yes, you can... I'm shooting people. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't shoot people. I don't believe Marcus should do that. I shoot my taser. Well, I'm bad at stealth games, and so I shoot people. But a lot of the time, I'll kind of thin out the horde with, like, you know, setting some traps up or something like that, or using a car to back it up on somebody, different things like that. But one of my... I'll move on to the next game I'm playing. But one of my favorite moments from this game so far, obviously I haven't beat it. I've only put, maybe 10 hours, maybe less than that in there. So there's this gang, right? There's a bunch of gang members in this little area. And I see them there, but there's two money bags, and I want the money bags so I can get a silenced assault rifle. So what I do is I call the cops on them, and I send the cops in to arrest them. And I'm in my little hollow, my little drone, and I'm watching it from above, and I'm like a block away. And this cop show up, and they try and arrest the gang guy, and the gang guy shoots the cop in the face. The cop, the other cop with him, freaks the fuck out, and she starts shooting, and there's this big ass gunfight going on. And then I use my drone to set off one of the grenades on one of the gang members' belts, and all of a sudden everyone explodes, and everyone's dead in there. So I go in there and then just, like, walk around, steal my money, and then walk out, and there's just all these dead bodies and explosions in there. It's just great. Like, they just found a way to, like, make everything a little bit more fun, add a little bit more to everything. You can mess with a lot more, and it's just a better world. It's more interesting. There's a lot more, like, there's just funner things going on, and I feel like that world is actually really cool, the idea of, like, being a hacker and stuff, and obviously some of it's not realistic, you know, maybe a hacker group like Anonymous wouldn't be, you know, shooting people trying to hack into things, but it's just like it's that. A game and it's fun. So I've been playing that. I've been playing Killing Floor 2, which is really good. I think I talked about it last episode I was on. It's still just as good as I thought it was. It's only a $40 game, and there's like 16 maps at launch. It's just really fun co-op game. So if you're looking for something like, if you didn't like COD Zombies for Infinite Warfare, and you want something co-op to play with some friends, that game's perfect. Like, there's no competitive to it. It's just co-op. You know, here's a round of 100 dudes, kill them with some friends, and then, you know, fight the boss at the end. Recommend watching videos for that game, because nothing I tell you is really going to do it justice. But that game's awesome. It's going to be $30 on Black Friday at GameStop. Really recommend picking that one up if you're looking for something fun like that. Since I have a PS4 Pro, I played some games on my PS4 Pro and just checked out, like, the graphics and stuff. I finally played through both Tomb Raider DLCs. I played through Baba Yaga, which is just an hour-long kind of expansion on what, like, almost like a little side story on what Rise of the Tomb Raider already was, which is actually pretty fun. The final boss fight's kind of annoying, but it was a pretty good DLC. And then I played through Lara Croft Blood Ties Manor or some shit like that, which is like Gone Home if Gone Home wasn't shit.
it's Gone got like little Home had Lara Croft.
Yeah, well, no, like, it's got little puzzles and there's a lot to it. It's actually really fun.
Right.
And, like, you know, it's about an hour and a half story and it's actually pretty good. And I actually really enjoyed that.
It's Lara Croft in her mansion walking around picking up diaries and letters explaining her 90s teenage angst.
No, not 90s teenage angst. Why her father killed himself.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. Different things like that. Spoiler Gone alert. Home sorry team. If you haven't played Rise of Tomb Raider.
From the makers of Gone Home.
Yeah, I think everybody knows. Like, her father killed herself and her mother died on an expedition or something like that, or on a plane flight or something like that, and she's getting kicked out of the manor, and she has to find some sort of proof so the uncle doesn't take the manor from her. And then, because I have a PS4 Pro, I've played a bunch of different games, checked out like just different graphics on different things. Still playing Titanfall. It's probably my most played multiplayer game. I just prestiged in it, actually.
Jeez.
Yeah, Titanfall 2 is the best multiplayer game this year by far, and it's not even close. I love Battlefield 1, but the players of that have ruined it, and Infinite Warfare, don't even get me started on that shit. God, I have so much to say still, sorry. PS4 Pro is really cool. It's nothing super phenomenal, obviously, but it's enough. It does like cool things, with basically it upscales everything to 4K. Games look better, they run better. It's really worth it if you don't already have a PS4. If you have the money laying around and you have 4K TV, I definitely recommend it just because everything runs better. My PlayStation 4 is quieter. They added a new Wi-Fi chip in there, so the connection is better. For the Wi-Fi. The one problem I'm having right now is because I have an LG TV, there's like a problem where when I turn my PS4 Pro on, it doesn't see 4K right away because the TV still needs a firmware update that it hasn't done yet. So I have to do this weird little fix where I turn it on safe mode, then turn a setting off, turn a setting back on when it's on, and then it works all of a sudden. Yeah, it's fucking weird. But when that any game is in 4K with that 60 FPS, it's gorgeous. It's amazing. I mean, the reason I got the PS4 Pro was actually so my fiance could get her own PS4. And she's been playing, obviously, her own games. But PS4 Pro is really cool. I'm actually really impressed on it. I played some Uncharted 4 just to check it out. It's gorgeous. Played some Ratchet and Clank. It's fucking amazing how good that game looks. Turned on Infamous Second Son. That game looks like a brand new game, even though it came out 4 years ago. Call of Duty looks amazing. Battlefield 1, amazing. It's just everything's really sharp. Everything looks a lot sharper.
Yeah.
That's the main thing I'm noticing. And then obviously the better frame rate and the less loud console. I have a launch console, so it's very loud.
No, I was gonna say my launch console is really loud. Sounds like a jet taking off.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever get a 4K TV, I got a 4K TV on a pretty good deal. That's the only reason I have one,
right.
Because my TV was actually breaking, and like I said, my fiance needs her own TV, and we have that Best Buy credit card. That shit has the best financing plans ever. And so I got a 4K TV, got a PS4 Pro, and it's really cool. I mean, obviously I didn't buy like the most expensive 4K TV. I bought something, you know. Not you know, bad at all, but still not like the most expensive thing. And then the final game I've been playing, I actually have Gamefly. I rented Dishonored 2. And I've only played maybe an hour or two of that game. And that's really interesting because I don't like stealth games. But the sword combat in that game is actually really, really good. That's okay. One thing I'm noticing. Like, the sword combat's a lot of fun. I'm not really a stealthy guy, so every once in a while I'll get like a stealth kill or two, but then I'll alert everyone else in the room and have to fight them all.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I actually own the first Dishonored. I played about 25, 30 minutes of it, and I was really impressed. I just need to go back and finish it.
I just don't like the stealthy parts of Dishonored. Like, I don't like having to be like, okay, gonna stab you in the back. Oh shit, you saw me, now I gotta restart the whole level again. Like, yeah. That's the one thing I don't like. If I get seen, I'm just like, fuck it, time to fight.
Yeah. I mean, that turns a lot of people off, I understand, you know. Same thing with, like, Metal Gear Solid. You know, a lot of people have shied away from that game because of it just being stealth, you know. But for someone like me, like, I discovered that game long before I even could form an opinion of, like, whether or not I really understood stealth versus this, you know. Like, I just really enjoyed the game. I loved the atmosphere and the bosses and the story and... you know, so I grew to love that type of game, and stealth games are probably right now one of my favorite types of games. Like,
I don't know. I don't like the stealth part of it, but I like that the game gives you options. And I feel like one thing about video games that we should always have is, you know, if you're making a stealth game, there should always be an option for people who aren't stealthy, because I feel like the amount of people who actually are good at stealth is very slim.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, I look at Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain, like, it has that option where if you're seen, it'll get you know, you can go slow motion and it gives you time to pull up your weapon and you can either tranquilize that enemy or kill them, neutralize them. Or you can just go in with rocket launchers and kill everyone, you know. You can complete the mission that way. You might get a worse rating for the mission, but, you know, you could still do it.
Yeah, Dishonored has made sure it's told me multiple times I'm doing a high chaos run.
Yeah.
you're doing a high chaos run with Emily. I'm like, okay, I'm still going to stab everybody, but okay, got it. Whatever you want, coach. But it's a cool game. My one conundrum with Dishonored and why I'm not buying it right now, obviously, is because, like, I like it, but I don't know if I want to buy it because there's a little game, I don't know if you've heard of it, it's a pretty small indie title called Final Fantasy 15 coming out.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If that game's good, I'd rather save the small amount of money I have and get Final Fantasy 15.
Right.
Because that game might be big enough that it'll win Game of the Year from a lot of places. But I've heard, don't quote me on this, that the embargo for that game lifts November 27th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's when we'll know if Final Fantasy 15 is a good game or not. So,
wow.
If it's a bad game, I probably won't pick it up just because I don't like JRPGs as it is. But
yeah.
Speaking of Final... Sorry, I'm going on forever. I'm sorry. It's like you haven't seen me in a long time. You just get to listen to me talk. I did make a Japanese PlayStation account just so I could see how Final Fantasy 15 looks on a PS4 Pro. I made a Japanese account. My username is Fatality in Japan, which is my username. And I made my... it asked you to make a name for your person. So I'm John Ming. That's my Japanese name. Nate Nelson is John Ming in Japanese.
John Ming.
And I couldn't understand what they were saying, and I didn't know what I was reading, but I just wanted to see some of the systems and play a little bit. The combat in that game is really cool. It's really, really pretty, but I couldn't figure out like what was side quests and what wasn't, or what if I should be talking to people or any of that stuff, so I can't really judge on that, but from what I've seen, this game should be really good.
Yeah.
But that said, I still want to wait for reviews and official, you know, official thoughts for people who have like review copies and stuff before I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go pre-order this and buy it for sure, because I don't want to like pre-order it and be stuck with it, you know?
Right. I mean, this game's been in development for a long time, so I'm really interested to check it out. Not a big Final Fantasy fan. I'll go ahead and throw this out there. You know, I've said it multiple times before. In fact, the most recent Final Fantasy I played, played and beat 7 in its entirety. Give or take a few, you know, optional side missions that you could do in the game. And I did play the PS4 version, so you have the 3x speed, which makes grinding a hell of a lot easier.
Which game is that?
Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, the old one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They re-released on the PS4.
I was like, I forgot. Did they make the remake for that yet? And I was like, no, it's not out yet.
No. Basically, the day they announced the trailer for the remake...
Oh, yeah, I was at PSX. They released it that day, too.
Right, right. So I went home and downloaded it. And I even own it on PlayStation 1. It's a good game. It's still not one of my favorites. You know, people say that it's, like, the best RPG of all time. I don't agree with that at all. But, you know, all my favorite JRPGs are not even named Final Fantasy. Like, you look at, like, Chrono Trigger and Suikoden 2, you know, like, those are really, really, really good JRPGs, and they're not even tied to the Final Fantasy universe, but...
That's the thing about JRPGs, for me, has always been that combat system where it's like attack, defend, magic, like that Pokemon type of thing.
Yeah.
I never enjoyed that, and so I never played Final Fantasy, so the thing that has me really interested about Final Fantasy 15 is the combat looks a lot like one of my favorite Square Enix games, which is Kingdom Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so... Yeah, that was the first game I ever 100%ed, was Kingdom Hearts. I even got, like, the best key in the game.
Wow.
And if this game plays like Kingdom Hearts but has the graphics it has and the storyline that it looks like it has with the Obviously, you got to go search for that dress. And the 72-hour boss fight. That's a joke from that Conan video. yeah. But, like, I'm curious. You know, that's the thing is, like, I feel like this game is going to be the most talked about thing of these last few months of the year. When this thing launches, every gaming podcast, every gaming outlet is going to talk about this thing nonstop.
Well, I think it is the biggest release, like, or the last.
Oh, it's the biggest release. It's the biggest release of 2016.
You think so?
Yes, guarantee it. There's nothing that came out this year that has been in development as long as it has this much hype. You know, No Man's Sky was probably the biggest as of now.
You have The Last Guardian. It's been in development a long time.
I had an argument with someone about this a few weeks ago. I think that Final Fantasy 15 is a more hyped game than The Last Guardian.
Well, absolutely, because the Final Fantasy fan base is way bigger than like Team Ico.
Well, there's so much relying on this game too. You have to remember, like, this is how long has it been since there was a true Final Fantasy game? The last Final Fantasy game was Lightning Returns, and it didn't go over so well.
Yeah,
of course. I didn't want to go that far. But that's the thing is,
sucked.
Like,
I'll say it.
Like, this is it. You know, I think if this game flops, if this is a bad game, I don't think they make any more Final Fantasy games, personally.
That's a bold statement.
Why would you? When you've tried, obviously, so many times, and, you know, it's not working out for you, why keep making the same game over and over again?
I mean, the game, like you said, it looks gorgeous.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I love the open world atmosphere. I love the combat. I think going the like action RPG style, like Kingdom Hearts, was a great idea. I'm just worried about the story. I think the story,
the boy band,
could possibly be super convoluted and just nonsensical, and you know, just some of the stuff I've seen. Like, and granted, the what little bit we have seen, you know, we're just going completely off conjecture, you know, like we don't know what's actually going on. We don't know where
the story progresses. Videos have been in Japanese, you know, there's not many videos in English of this game.
Right. Like the little bit of gameplay footage we saw on the Conan video where they were like hunting down some wedding dress or something, or looking for somebody at a wedding or something.
That's meant to be comical, you know, so absolutely. I don't know how close to realism that is. But the thing is like, if this game is anything like The Witcher 3, it'll be good. Because The Witcher 3 was huge, there was so much going on, there were so many different storylines, and the combat was really fun, and everything else was going on. If they made this thing anything like The Witcher 3, I think this thing will be a success.
Yeah, but it also has to stay true to what makes Final Fantasy great, and why fans love Final Fantasy. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know.
I hope they don't rely on that. You know, you're going to get a huge... The thing about this game is if it's good, the audience for Final Fantasy is going to skyrocket. Because you have so many people like me who've been like, wow, this thing looks really cool. Yeah. I don't normally play Final Fantasy, but this thing looks really cool. So I'm super excited. Obviously, I don't want to talk about, you know, in our next podcast, we'll talk about this thing a lot. Because we're going to take off the next week for Thanksgiving. We're going to come back. Final Fantasy ought to be out. I'm going to probably get it, or the reviews will be out and it'll be bad, and we'll talk about, you know, what people are saying, why it's bad, and all that kind of stuff. But I still want to play this thing just to hear about it, just to know about it, because when I played the demo, the way my playtime with the demo ended, it turned nighttime, and a giant monster spawned out of the ground and killed me. And I was like, okay, it's in Japanese. I don't know what the fuck's going on. I'm dead again. So.
Yeah. All you need to know is a giant monster came out of the ground and killed you.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, Final Fantasy 15, we're single digits away. 9 days. Well, actually, it's less than 9 days when you hear this. It'll be, what, 7 days?
It's hard to believe, man.
7 days to Final Fantasy 15. They can't go back on it now.
10 years
We're going to find out what this thing's like. I'm very excited. Even as a non-Final Fantasy fan, I'm super excited to see what this thing is.
So we're essentially a month away from two of the biggest, most anticipated games in the last 10 years.
Yeah. And I think Final Fantasy 15 is going to be the better of the two, but I'm going to play The Last Guardian. I'm going to rent it to make just to see it. I want to see it because even though I don't like Team Ico games or any of that stuff, or Ico for that matter, or Shadow of the Colossus, I think I said that on the last podcast. Yeah. I have to see what this is as a gaming fan. I have to know what this thing is, you know. And that's how I feel about Final Fantasy 15. But I feel like there's a lot more people with me on that who are just like, what is Final Fantasy 15, you know?
Yeah. I definitely agree with you. And I'm glad you have that mindset, too. That's a, you should definitely keep that, you know. Even if you're not, like, super hyped for the game, you still want to...
Well, I had to know what No Man's Sky was, too. And, you know, maybe that game turned out bad, obviously. But I had a few hours of that game where I actually really enjoyed it. So, I don't know. We'll see. Final Fantasy XV's close. I don't want to talk more about it because I don't know anything about it, you know, obviously. But next episode, you'll know exactly how we feel about Final Fantasy.
Yes, absolutely. But ladies and gentlemen, this is The Good, The Bad, and The Microtransactions. We are a Proven Gamer podcast. Remember, you can go to provengamer.com for news, previews, and podcasts, including this one, and Trophy Whores. And remember the loot. New episodes go up weekly. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. if you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, please rate us and review us. Leave us a review on iTunes. We will read the review on the show. Don't forget to do that. We would greatly appreciate that. And if you want to email us, you can do so at gbm@provengamer.com. Speaking of emails, this didn't come through our email, but this was on the Facebook group, and I wanted us to talk about this and see, you know, kind of pick your brain, get your thoughts on the subject. Here on GBM, we don't just talk about PlayStation. We love PlayStation. We're diehard PlayStation fans. We do talk about Nintendo. I love Nintendo. Nate, do you like Nintendo?
To an extent. I think they're really out of touch with what gaming is nowadays. I think that one thing that they've done really well is every Mario game has been good. Actually, not good. Great. Besides Sunshine. Sunshine. That's how it's always been.
Sunshine good.
Sunshine can go to hell. That game's terrible. And I'm not a huge Legend of Zelda fan, but the thing is, like, Nintendo's always found a way to make things interesting. Granted, Mario Party is trash, but, like, most of the stuff they put out, the Mario Kart games are always good, the Smash Brothers games are always good. They tried something new with Splatoon. It was phenomenal. They've always found a way to put some stuff out on a console for everybody. Like, there's something on their consoles for everybody.
Right.
You know, which is different than, you know, a Sony console, in which there's a lot of, you know, if you have a PlayStation 4 or a PlayStation 3 for that matter, you know, Last of Us and Uncharted, they are different games, but they're very much like third-person character games, while, you know, Nintendo is doing, you know, RPGs and crazy shit. They do so much different things. That said, I think that they don't understand multiplayer gaming, and I don't think they understand what gamers actually want from games that aren't Nintendo games.
Right.
But, go ahead.
So Jared on our Facebook group asked, what if Nintendo became third party? What if instead of being multi-plat to maximize sales, they made Sony and Xbox pay for the exclusivity by IP? And this is a topic that I've heard been brought up quite a few times, and I thought it was interesting, and, you know, I kind of want to get your take on it, because, you know, I've always said that the gaming world without Nintendo would be a sad world, just in my opinion. I grew up with Nintendo. Nintendo's the reason why I play video games today. Probably the reason why a lot of people play video games today. In fact, shout out to Miyamoto. He just turned 58, maybe 60. Maybe he's in the 60s. He's old. He's been at this a while. And he's been a great mind in the gaming industry. And so I definitely owe my childhood to him and to an extent. But anyway, what do you think? And, like, if the Switch comes out and it just bombs, right? Which we'll get into more of that later, when, as far as, like, the possible price leak in the news. Do you think there would be a possibility that we would see Nintendo games on Sony and Xbox? And if so, would they be exclusive to either Sony and Xbox, or do you think they would go the route of, like, both?
It's really hard to... This is a weird question, because I don't think Nintendo will ever do that. I don't think they'll ever do that. Like, obviously they're doing phone games, but I just don't think... That's never been a company that really cares about that stuff. You know, Wii was a huge success, but, like, GameCube wasn't that great. Wii U wasn't that great, and if Switch isn't that great, they're still going to make another console after it.
GameCube was good.
Yeah, but it didn't sell well.
It sold better than Wii U.
Well, yeah, everything.
Well, everything did. Yeah, that's true.
But the thing is like, they don't really... I feel like they don't really care about sales as much as people think they do. I think you're always going to have, like, a dedicated Nintendo machine. I mean, look at that SNES Classic thing. Like, that thing is so dumb, but it's sold out everywhere. You can't buy one.
Oh, the NES Classic?
Yeah, that thing is dumb. But, like, it's sold out everywhere. And that's the thing is, like, there's always going to be demand for Nintendo by some people to the point where I think they can always stay by themselves. That said, if they did, I think they develop different types of games. I think, obviously, you still have Mario, because look at, you know, look at the hype around Yooka-Laylee. Like, that game's really cool, and people are really hype on it. But I think that they have to enhance graphics. Graphics have to be better. I don't care how good their games look on, you know, their Switches or whatever, but if they're on PlayStation 4 and Xbox, I feel like you need better graphics. And then, I don't know, they probably could release the same games. Like, I feel like maybe Mario could release in the same state. I want to say that maybe Zelda should have more, but I feel like that new Zelda game is already doing more.
Yeah.
You know, but the problem is with, you know, once you put those games on a console like a PlayStation 4 and Xbox, is you have to remember what's already on it. Like, Witcher 3 is a game that it's out, you know, in the wild, and that game is probably the biggest game in the world, I think. I don't think there's a bigger game than Witcher 3. That's, I feel like that is the standard for RPG games.
Yeah. Like, you're talking about in terms of, like, quality?
Yeah, quality, just overall game, you know. Yeah. You can go back to Skyrim and or even Fallout 4, you know. Fallout 4 came out last year, and it wasn't that great because of how good Witcher 3 was. Yeah, you know, I was super excited for Fallout 4, and I love Fallout 3, but and I played through, I finished Fallout 4, but I was like, man, Witcher 3 was such a better game than this. And I don't know, I just feel like it's hard. It's a different type of space. I don't know, maybe I'm rambling, but like, it's a very different space for those games on Xbox and PS4, and they'd be welcome there. I'm sure they would. People would buy them, but I at the same time, I don't think that ever happens.
I'm sure people said the same thing about Sega, you know, when Sega tanked.
That's true.
Was forced to go third party. I
don't think Nintendo will ever tank like Sega did, though.
No, never. I'm just interested to see what happens because, you know, with the Switch coming to the market, you know, they originally Nintendo had stated that, you know, this isn't going to be a replacement for the 3DS, and then now I'm hearing reports that it eventually it will be, that this, you know, the Switch is going to be essentially, you know, it's going to be your home console and your handheld to kind of separate the market. But we'll see. You know, we haven't exactly had any concrete information on the Switch yet. We won't until like the end of January. But I'll be interested to see if they do go down that road eventually, if there's going to be some kind of partnership with Sony, given their history. And, you know, without going too in-depth with it, you know, when the PlayStation 1 was coming out, it was originally supposed to be the Nintendo PlayStation, because Nintendo was going to partner with Sony. But then Nintendo, of course, kind of went behind their back and partnered it with Panasonic and made that god-awful console. And then so Sony went their own route, and we know how that turned out. The rest was history, but I'd be interested to see, like, if eventually they would partner with Sony and to have games on there, you know. Because I think Sony would be dumb not to say, yeah, we'll take Zelda and put it on PlayStation. You know, that
of course they would do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't think it ever gets to the point where that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I don't either. But if the Switch comes out, you know, regardless of its price and its functionality and its titles, whatever. If it comes out and it tanks like the Wii U did, if you want to call it tanking, I mean, compared to Xbox and PlayStation, let's be honest, the Wii U tanked. Then, I mean, does Nintendo just go back to the drawing board and make another console? I mean, can they afford to do that? Would they want to do that? Or would they just want to say, you know what? They're right, we should go third party and just put our games on these consoles that are selling. We'll make more money doing this. We'll still make a 3DS or 4DS, whatever the next handheld console is, but we want to put our games on consoles that are selling, you know. But I, you know, now that you mention it, I don't know, one part of me agrees with you, one part of me says that there might be a chance that they go third party within the next 5 years, if the Switch tanks.
If it happened, I would be very surprised. That's what I can definitely say.
Yeah. But if Mario and Zelda came to PlayStation, would you buy them?
Mario, yes. Zelda, no.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I don't like Zelda. I mean, Breath of the Wild looks cool, but I'd have to play it before I bought it. Like, I've been burned by Zelda so many times.
How have you been burned by Zelda?
I just don't like the... okay, here's a... Here's a dungeon. Go in there. Do this. Go to the next dungeon. Here, go in here. Do this. I just don't like that format. It bothers me.
Like the linear format?
Yeah, I don't like the linear format of Zelda.
Yeah.
It's always bothered me. In Twilight Princess, it bothered me the most because that game was the most linear of all of them because it was literally like, okay, here's a wolf mission. Okay, here's a dungeon with Link. Okay, here's a wolf mission. Okay, here's a dungeon with Link. And I was like, oh my god, fucking shoot me now. The wolf missions aren't fun.
I'd say the first 30 minutes of that game, you gotta kind of power through it. But Twilight
Princess, well, Majora's Mask really was good. Like that too, and Majora's Mask is probably my least favorite of them all of them.
I didn't like Majora's Mask at all.
I hated it.
But it's funnier that you bring up the linear side of Zelda, because the very first Zelda was essentially a non-linear game where you could literally go to any castle in any order if you knew what you were doing.
And yeah, but the problem is, like, the 3D ones, like, Ocarina is phenomenal, right? I'm never going to deny the fact that game's great. I never finished it myself, but what that game did for, you know, with the N64 was amazing. But the problem is that game is literally, okay, go to the tree temple. Okay, now go to the fire temple. Okay, now go to the water temple. Okay, now you're an adult. Okay, now go to the undead temple. Okay, now go to the water temple. It's just very linear. I don't care if the open world around it is open. I don't like the linearity of Zelda. It bothers me.
Yeah, but yeah, I remember that back when the game were launched, back in 96, I think it was 96, 97. Like, yeah. we didn't pay attention to that stuff, you know? Like, this just goes to show you how much games have evolved now, you know? And why, like, the new Zelda's having to go in the direction it's going, which I'm glad, because it's going back to, like, the roots of the first Zelda, where it's like, you know, you're going to have that freedom to just go and adventure, and like if you stumble upon a cave, you can go adventure in the cave and see what's in there. Stumble upon a dungeon, like you may or may not.
That seems to be what the Breath of the Wild is doing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I think that's cool. Like, that's one thing that's cool about it. Obviously, I'm not gonna buy a Switch for Breath of the Wild or a Nintendo console for that matter. I've been burned by the Wii and the Wii U, obviously. there's been no games I really liked on there except for, you know, Bayonetta 2, which was my game of the year it came out, actually. And Mario Kart 8 was worth it, but they're like, I don't like buying consoles for like one or two games.
Well, who does?
Like, that bothers me. Like, I bought an Xbox because I really wanted to play Horizon and Gears, and those games are great, but now my Xbox just sits around collecting dust.
Netflix?
Well, I have Netflix on my PC, but I'm actually going to get ReCore for $15 on Black Friday and just check it out. It's probably bad, but for $15, you know, I turn on my Xbox and I at least get something out of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to a break real quick advertisement, and then we'll come back with some good news. Or we want to do bad news first?
Let's do good news first.
Do news first? Okay, we'll be right back.
Oh, hello. Didn't see you there. I was too busy wrecking fools in Street Fighter V. You're probably asking yourself, Frosty, how are you so god darn good at Street Fighter V? Well, I'll tell you how. Fight Stick Guy. That's right. Go to facebook.com/fightstickguy for custom handcrafted arcade-style fight sticks for you fighting game enthusiasts.
Every fight stick is made 100% to your liking with interchangeable parts. If you want a custom-made fight stick to work on your Xbox 360, PS3, PS4, Xbox One, PC, or all of the above, this is the guy to see. Whether you want an awesome fight stick with Chun-Li on the front, with buttons that light up, or you want a fight stick with Macho Man Randy Savage wrestling a bear at night, this guy can make it happen. Again, that's facebook.com/fightstickguy, because you don't bring a pad to a stick fight.
All right, well, we're back. There's not a lot of news this week, but I talked for a long time, so I made up for it. The first good news story is in an article to Forbes.com. There have been previous reports from Nintendo President Tatsumi Kimishima. Is that right?
Nailed it.
That the Nintendo Switch will be sold at a profit, and it will be priced in line with previous offerings. A Canadian Toys R Us website accidentally leaked the Switch's price point at $329.99 Canadian dollars, which translates to about $249 US dollars. The listing has now been taken down.
So yeah, I really, really like this, and I hope it's true. Because
it's a good price point.
Yeah, it's a very good price point, because you remember when the Wii came out, brand new, it was $250, and they sold it at a profit. Now granted, when the Wii came out, it was something super innovative, super new, and like this is kind of before Nintendo's downward spiral-ish of like even the most hardcore Nintendo gamer saying I'm not gonna invest too much in Nintendo right now because they can't get their stuff together. But with the Switch coming out, it's new, it's innovative, it's home console / handheld. Supposedly they have a lot of third-party support, and you know, that excites a lot of people.
I think you just can't. I don't think there's any way this thing sells at $250. At least $350. Just because it's supposed to be sporting a pretty high graphics chip compared to even the Wii U. And what was the Wii U at launch, do you know?
The Wii U at launch, I think, was like, with the Mario bundle, I think it was like $325, $350.
Yeah, $325, $350 sounds about right for this thing, because it's going to have higher graphics, and then it has the portability. I feel like there's a lot of moving parts going on with this thing, too many for them to sell it at this small of a price. Granted, right. $250 would be phenomenal. I might even buy it for $250.
Oh, absolutely.
But that said, at $250, I think this thing is the hardest thing to find in the whole entire world when it comes out then. And I don't. Look how hard it is to find an NES Classic right now. And because that thing's selling at $60, people see it's like cheap price like that, and they're like, "Oh, I gotta have it."
$60 if you're lucky. You know, did you hear about the people on Amazon?
Yeah, I heard. I heard it's selling for insane prices.
Somebody, I just saw a posting the other day, yesterday in fact. Somebody bought an NES Classic on Amazon for like $800,000.
Why? It only does 30 games.
You
can literally pirate those games.
You can.
And it's not necessarily illegal because MAME and all that stuff, like, people don't really frown upon it anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, for $60, though, just to have a really cool collectible thing that Nintendo's
putting
out. Oh, no,
it's super cool. It's just,
yeah.
I don't have an open HDMI port for it, you know? I have a PS4, I have a PC, and I have an Xbox One all hooked up into it.
Right.
And on my TV, I don't have room for it, you know?
Right.
It's cool, though. I mean, it's definitely cool. I just don't, you know, I don't have nostalgia glasses. Like, after COD 4 being as, like, not as good as I remember it, I don't have the nostalgia glasses for anything anymore. Like, I don't want to go back and play through old things.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know, like, a lot of people have that. They're like, oh my god, you know, this game is so great, I'd love to play through it again. And I feel like that's cool, and some people were super into it, and they still hold up. But I've gone back and played older games. Like, I went back and played through Bioshock years after it came out, and I was like, this game doesn't hold up at all. And then Call of Duty 4's campaign holds up, but the multiplayer, there's just not enough going on for it to prevent people from camping, or just using the M16 for that matter. Like, I just the advancements a lot of series make over time generally, like, it just doesn't work. Like, Fallout 4 was too much Fallout 3, and all they added was the stupid build a house thing, which was dumb. You know, and that was all they added, and it's like, well, this isn't really that fun. Right. I don't know. I'm just not big on nostalgia. Maybe I'm crazy, but that's my thoughts.
No, I mean, it's just perfectly fine. But so yeah, the Switch, I hope it comes out $249.99.
Well, that'd be phenomenal.
I would just be interested, you know, to see if that comes true. Now, would they have to sell that at $249.99 because
Without a game is probably what they'd have to sell if they sold it. Yeah. They'd have to do no game pack in.
I mean, but my question is that due to the hardware being not as powerful as what's in most consoles now, or is that because they?
It's the controller isn't really, you know, I don't know actually, you know, I want to say that it's maybe that the controller is not anything special and that you know, they're not gonna have a lot of third party support, which they probably won't. But I have no idea why you'd sell this thing at $250. I honestly can't even think of a reason you would sell this thing at $250.
Right.
But you know, one thing before we go, have you watched South Park lately?
No, I haven't. I haven't watched.
There's these little grape things, and they're like little. They're called member berries, and they're a joke on people's nostalgia, and they're like, they're talking about Star Wars all the time. They go, "Remember Tauntauns?" And with the NES, it's like, "Remember Mario? Remember Mario Brothers? Remember Zelda? Remember Master Sword?" So I just thought about that. It's funny if you ever get a chance to watch it. It's just, like, that part's funny because it's just funny, like, because that's totally how people are, like nostalgia. That's, and I make some jokes with my friends all the time. It's
that's
like
totally me though.
Yeah, that's the thing guy. Is like, there's tons of people who are right, and that was me before I got COD 4 remastered. I was like, oh, remember M4? Remember AK? Remember Crash? Remember Stopping Power? And then I played, and I was like, oh, fuck! Remember Martyrdom? Oh shit! Fucking dead. Remember camping? Remember M16 that's overpowered? Remember hardcore where you have to camp to win? Like, all that stuff. Like, nostalgia can backfire. Like, it's not always great, you know? That's one thing I've learned recently.
Unless it's Super Nintendo.
Unless it's Super Nintendo, that's true. Although the Mario Kart game on Super Nintendo is pretty trash.
It was so bad.
Like, looking back on it, like, that game's trash. Like, it's a 2D racing game, and then you look at Mario Kart 64. I remember I used to have Mario Kart 64 and Super NES Mario Kart, and I would always go back and play 64 just because Super NES Mario Kart is just not fun.
It's not good. But and like, remember the time,
they have the throwback maps. Yeah, they have like the throwback maps in other games where you play NES maps or Game Boy Advance maps for that matter. And it's like, oh, why the fuck am I playing this? This is trash. I don't want to play this. Like, I don't want to play a throwback map from the SNES game. Fucking flat-ass maps with nothing going on. But at the time, yes, it was great. You're right. That's true.
Yeah, it was. So, topic number two. According to reports, there will be a new Mario game to launch alongside the Nintendo Switch, as well as Splatoon. And despite recent rumors of Skyrim not even being on the Switch, it appears we may be getting Skyrim on the Switch as a launch title after all. And I put in the notes... I've seen this appear on quite a few sites, but it may be complete conjecture. I haven't seen IGN or Bethesda report on it yet. So, yeah, it's possible that Skyrim may be coming to Switch after all.
A new Mario game being a launch game would be very smart, considering there was only one Mario game on Wii U during its whole life cycle. And that's not enough Mario games.
There's two, but you had your 2D Mario, which is basically the same Mario they put out on the Wii, just slightly better.
And I don't count those games. Those aren't fun.
No, and then you had 3D World, which was good. It wasn't pretty good. Galaxy 1 or 2 good, but it was, you know, it was fun.
I'm hoping that this new one is Mario Universe.
Yeah.
I would be so down with that.
Yeah. I've heard reports that, you know, from people inside Nintendo that... it's possibly going to be a lot like Mario 64.
So I remember hearing about this rumor about a Mario game a long time ago, and it was a time traveling Mario game, and it was a 3D Mario game in which you went back in time, kind of like Dragon Ball Xenoverse, and you did levels based that were like, there was basically the enemy wasn't Bowser, it was this guy, and what he did was he would go back in time and he would change Mario levels in the past, and so you would go back through Mario levels, like Mario 64 levels, but they're completely different. And basically, he's just trying to stop. He's just trying to mess with Mario. And it was like this rumor I heard a long time ago. I mean, I think my friend heard it on 4chan or something like that. And it sounded so cool, like so different compared to what they've done. You know, the base like, oh, the Peach is kidnapped. We got to go get her. Like that's. It sounded so cool because it's like so different and such a cool idea. But it never happened. Maybe this is that game. I don't know. Obviously, it's probably not. But yeah. Like, I feel like maybe that's something Mario needs, like a little bit more. You know, playing on the fact that there's been a million Mario games, you know, kind of makes something different that's not, oh, no, Peach is kidnapped. You have to get her.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. But as long as it's better than Mario is Missing. It was the last time they had time travel in a Mario
game. Oh, yeah, yeah.
God-awful.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Mario Missing is trash. But so I think... Bad. A launch Mario game with a Switch would be cool. I don't know how. I think it'll probably make people buy it. Obviously, I think a Mario game would probably get people to buy it. And I think Splatoon is a really cool game and really cool idea that it just needs to be fleshed out a little bit more. And I think that if they can enhance, like what I said earlier, their multiplayer features, then that game could be a great flagship multiplayer title for the new console. So I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff that could happen with Switch. I'm not sold on it. I'm not gonna be like, oh, I gotta go out and buy one. Just like the Scorpio. Like, I don't believe in that, you know. Especially with the fact that the Scorpio is boosting a lot more power, yet all the games still run on Xbox One, you know.
I still think it's great that they market the Scorpio with 6 teraflops. No one knows what teraflops are.
No one does. They're like, oh my god, 6 teraflops, oh my god. And like, the thing is...
well, you know, they made the thing run faster. Well, how does it work? Like...
Well, and the thing is, too, is, like, they're not explaining the fact that televisions can only output a certain, you know, resolution and or frames per second, basically. So, you know, games are going to look sharper like they do with the Pro, but they're not going to be, like, drastically different because the technology on a television and HDMI, which I've done a lot of research since I got the Pro on, isn't up to spec for these games to do, you know, the nativest 4K that's just gorgeous and has everything going on in it and all this stuff, you know? It's they're not there yet, so I don't know what the Scorpio is going to be like, obviously. But, you know, we'll see, obviously. We'll see, you know. It's coming out next year. They keep saying it. What the hell is the Scorpio? What the hell is 6 teraflops? I don't know.
What will we play on it?
Yeah, what will we play on it? The same
what
shit.
What games are coming out?
Well, it's going to probably... I think that their flagship title for Scorpio, and you can quote me on it, Episode 5, is Crackdown 3.
Hmm.
I guarantee
that's
you
a good
Crackdown
one.
3.
I completely forget about that one. Crackdown's a good game.
But the thing, keep in mind, Crackdown 3 is also going to come out on regular Xbox One and Xbox One S. So it has to still run. So I'm curious how they would do that. I mean, it might be easier because it's, you know, it's just basically the same idea as a PC. You know, you have games that run on low and some games that run on high. It might be just like that, but I don't know. Scorpio just seems like it's too much of an advancement for games to still play, you know? Scorpio feels like an Xbox One 2, which is really... That sounds really stupid. But like an Xbox One 2, while, you know, PlayStation 4 Pro feels like PlayStation 4 Pro. It's the same shit. It's just your games run better. They sound... everything's a little easier to run, while Xbox One S is... 6 teraflops, huge upgrade, all this bullshit. You know, I don't... It's not being explained well. But, you know, we'll see. Next year's going to be very interesting with the Switch and Xbox Scorpio coming out.
Mm. Yeah. I even had someone tell me that with the Switch and the Scorpio coming out that PlayStation was going to go downhill.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's totally going to go downhill because Horizon Zero Dawn isn't coming out next year. Yeah, you're right. Totally. Horizon Zero Dawn is going to be the biggest game next year, and it's not going to be fucking close. People think Mass Effect Andromeda is going to be something. Wait till you play fucking Horizon Zero Dawn. And I'm not overhyping that game. I swear to God, that thing is going to be huge. The thing is going to be insane. And anyone who can play that game with a straight face and be like, wow, PlayStation's dead. This is crap. And it's like, you're crazy.
But, this podcast is brought to you by Nate Nelson and Horizon Zero Dawn.
Sorry, I'm a very big Horizon Zero Dawn fan. I think that game. I'm a really big fan of Guerrilla. I've always have been. I've always been a big fan of Killzone, and I really like Killzone. But the thing is, like, Horizon Zero Dawn is something specifically different. We're getting a Spider-Man game. Days Gone looks gorgeous. I mean, that game looks gorgeous, and there's so much going on in it. I think that game is going to be like Last of Us. God of War won't come out next year, I guarantee it.
Well, it's still coming.
Yeah, it is still coming. But I think Days Gone is going to be one of those games that once you finally see what it is, people are going to be like, holy shit, this is like Last of Us, but maybe better. Or maybe there's a lot more going on or whatever, you know? I think that's the game that people need to start looking out for. Sorry, every time we talk about something, I bring up PlayStation again. I feel bad.
No, don't.
Move on to bad news. Is that okay? You want to talk more about Scorpio with Switch?
No.
Bad news. Despite being touted as one of the most highly anticipated games of the year, it was recently reported that the first week sales figures for Call of Duty Infinite Warfare were down 48.8% in the UK when compared to the launch of 2015's Black Ops 3. Now, it seems as if the most recent entry in the long-running first-person shooter franchise has had its popularity dip more than expected on Steam, as the platform's player numbers for the game are currently lower than Rainbow Six Siege, which came out last year.
Which is a good game.
I'm not surprised. I think Infinite Warfare's multiplayer is bad. But as shown by the Steam store stats, Infinite Warfare's peak simultaneous players so far today on PC gaming service has maxed out at 11,000, leaving the title trailing behind Rainbow Six Siege and the bank heist shooter Payday 2. Rainbow Six Siege currently topped out at 12,000. Concurrent, while Payday has been at 15,500 at today. So, I'm not surprised. I think Infinite Warfare is a phenomenal single-player game, but I'm not a big... I think Zombies is getting stale. I think the Zombies mode for it is getting really stale, especially when you compare it to Killing Floor 2, which is just a more fun zombie experience. It's a little bit, you know, not so cumbersome. And right. I think the multiplayer is just too Twitch shootery, too much going on. I think the next Call of Duty game should be boots on the ground, but it should be boots on the ground, kind of like Modern Warfare.
Yeah, I always found Call of Duty Zombies absolutely aggravating, but I did read something a while back that Rainbow Six Siege player base had saw like a 60% increase or something, and I'm actually part of a Rainbow Six Siege community on Facebook, and granted, it's still, you know, it's just a Facebook community, but Rainbow Six Siege is a very thriving community. I mean, it's actually making its way into more like MLG, esports stuff.
Oh, it's a phenomenal game. I don't like the way they did the DLC. They put the map. See, I have the season pass for that game, but they put the maps in the rotation. And so you're still playing the same old maps. You're never playing the new maps, it felt like, you know? Like, I had all the DLC packs, but I never played any of the DLC maps.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could see that. Like, when the first DLC dropped, I barely played that new map. And the thing that sucks is, like, I don't sit down and play that game like most people who are really good at the game do, you know?
I used to play that game so much.
Yeah, but when the DLC dropped, like, I was trying to find I think it was Cruise Ship.
Yep.
Whenever Black Ice launched. And I didn't know the map. So I'm sitting there trying to, like, you know, learn the map and get good at it, and so that way I can help my teammates out. But by the time I learned the map, it seemed like the next DLC was dropping. So I had to learn a whole new other map. And I just got really behind in it. And there's a couple of the DLC characters out now that I still haven't purchased. The latest DLC pack just dropped. And according to some tweets that I had seen, which I was going to put in the notes, but I couldn't actually find anything written up on it yet, Ubisoft had tweeted out that they were looking forward to a whole nother year of content So players are speculating that maybe there's going to be four more DLC packs coming out with a whole nother season pass, giving us 8 new operators, 4 new maps. So I'd be pretty excited to see that. I mean, that would make the Siege roster pretty meaty. But it's, you know, it's a great game. But I you know, this article is talking about the Infinite Warfare player base on PC, and you know, one thing I was looking up, I'd actually seen a video from Angry Joe. If you've ever seen the Angry Joe show on YouTube, I love Angry Joe so much. He was talking about how like the PC user base is split from between Steam and PC. So like if you buy the game on Steam, you can't play with PC players and vice versa. And so you're cutting a small user base on the PC, or an already small user base, in half, essentially. So I thought that was pretty interesting and definitely a blow to PC players when it comes to Call of Duty. And granted, people buy Call of Duty on consoles, like, you know.
It's much more bought on consoles. Like, when I used to play on PC when Modern Warfare 2 came out, but when they announced that Modern Warfare 2 wasn't going to have dedicated servers, I bought it on PS3, and there's just so many more people playing on PS3 and PS4, obviously, now, and, you know, Xbox 360 and stuff. And Call of Duty's just more of a console game, which it makes sense, but I just don't see this game being competitive anymore. To me, honestly, I just don't see it. It's there's too much Twitch, there's too much luck to it all. You know, I can be really good at Titanfall and then play Call of Duty and just be absolute goddamn trash. Yeah. And it's just because I'm not twitchy and running around. I have all the best guns. It's like the thing about Call of Duty is it's all luck now, which I don't like. Is if you play the most, you know, you'll get these boxes, and sometimes in the boxes you'll get a gun that's like a legendary gun that has different stats than the regular version of that gun. And I don't like that they added that. And that's the thing about Rainbow Six Siege. It's like everyone's on a level playing field. It's all based on how good you are with the character you pick.
Yeah, it's all about communication. You know, it's using your cameras, your breach. Like, depending on where you breach, you know, like if one teammate makes one wrong move, like, you could all die. You know.
And that's the other problem with that game too, is you can't play by yourself. You can't like lone wolf it. Like, I had a group of people I played with that game, and I got to, like, level 76, I think, was, like, my level when I stopped playing it.
Right.
And, like, that's the thing, is, like, you can lone wolf Call of Duty all day, but you can't lone wolf Rainbow Six Siege, which is, you know, that's the thing. Like, I love Rainbow Six Siege, I think it's phenomenal, but I stopped playing because my group moved on to Overwatch.
Right.
And when they move on to Overwatch, it's like, well, I mean, obviously I wasn't going to play Siege anymore. And then, you know, when I didn't play Overwatch with them much, they just moved on to the next game. And, you know, now I'm on Titanfall or whatever, but you know, that's the thing, is, like, if you don't have friends that consistently play something every single night, you know, it's not as fun to play games with your friends. You know, there's a position for Call of Duty because it's a lone wolf game for people who just want to hop on. Granted, I think Titanfall is a better lone wolf game than anything. Heck, I even like Battlefield as a lone wolf game now. Battlefield 1's so simplified. You can definitely play that game by yourself. You don't need to be in a group of people.
Yeah, I do it every night.
Yeah, see? Yeah, exactly. But, I'm not surprised. I think Infinite Warfare is probably the worst Call of Duty worst Call of Duty multiplayer of all time. Besides probably either Ghosts or Black Ops 3 last year. I thought Advanced Warfare had something going for it. I think you guys talked about it last week about Advanced Warfare. And Advanced Warfare was such a cool thing because you had side boosts and all that stuff, and that was so neat, and it was different than what Titanfall was doing. And then with Black Ops 3, they just copied Titanfall. And the thing was, like, if they had kept that track of Advanced Warfare, I think Call of Duty would be a better game. Because, like, the side boosts and all that stuff, it just felt neat and different. But now they put themselves in a hole where they can't do Future anymore. So, I mean, what do they do? I think if you want the next one to be successful, you know, maybe you pack in World at War Remastered and make a better game. I don't know. Make a boots on the ground game. I wouldn't do another Future game. Obviously, you have the campaign thing going on, but I don't even think the campaign for the next one will be as good. The reason this one was so good was because the guy from Naughty Dog wrote the story.
Yeah.
You know, but the way the campaign was done in this game was phenomenal. Now, do that to your multiplayer and maybe bring back Spec Ops instead of doing zombies again. You know, I'm sure there's a place for zombies and everyone loves zombies. But I think Spec Ops is a little bit more fun with my friends than zombies, personally. But
yeah,
that's my opinion on Call of Duty.
Zombies is kind of a Black Ops thing, too. You know, like,
well, it's been in every single Call of Duty lately, you know?
Oh, that is true. Wow.
The last three have had zombies in some form. You know, Advanced Warfare didn't have it at first, and then they added it. Like, the last one that didn't have zombies was Ghosts, and it had the Aliens mode, which was actually pretty cool. But, you know, people wanted zombies. They liked the zombies more. You know, whatever. But, you know, if you want a zombies experience, get Killing Floor. It's a better game. You know, maybe it's just... my ideal Call of Duty would be going back to Modern Warfare. Like, Modern Warfare, not the Ghosts futuristic Modern Warfare. Going back to Modern Warfare, putting in Modern Warfare 2 Remastered, and giving me Spec Ops. And making a new campaign.
Just give me a Black Ops remaster.
God, Black Ops was great. That game's story is phenomenal.
It was so good. It was so good.
And I never expected that from a Call of Duty game. That was the thing, is like the story for that was so good, and then, you know, they went back to the bullshit. And the thing is, like, Infinite Warfare story was so good, and I'm worried that next year they go back to the bullshit on the campaign. Maybe they make a better multiplayer, but I don't know. I think Call of Duty's on its way out at this point. I don't see it being this top tier thing much longer. Ultimately, I think it's nearing its end. I'm curious what will happen next year, because we already know what EA's game is going to be. It's going to be Battlefront 2, which will have a campaign this time around. But is it going to be super simplified like Battlefront 1 was? So.
Yeah, that's something I was talking to Daryl about last week. Is, you know, with the campaign of Battlefield 1 was essentially a tutorial for how to play the game. Like, you had one mission that taught you how to use the tank, and another mission taught you how to fly a plane. And I feel like with Battlefront 2, it's going to be that. It's going to be like, you know, one mission, you're flying an X-Wing. The next mission, you're riding a Tauntaun.
The thing about it is, I don't know if you've ever seen what the Star Wars Battlefront 3 reveal was going to be. Did you ever see that?
Yes.
Do you remember that the idea of that campaign? I'd like to see them try something like that. The problem with that is, I think DICE sucks at single-player games. I think they're really trash. I really don't think that the praise that Battlefield 1 received was right. I think that was a bad single-player game, personally. But, you know, you never know. Maybe they'll do something cool with Star Wars. You know, obviously, you never know. But I'm not super hype on that single player unless I see something and I'm just like, wow, this is so cool. There's so much going on with this. But, well,
I can understand with, like, Battlefield, you're creating a story from scratch. But with Star Wars, the lore and the origin and the overall story of Star Wars is so rich and deep. Like, you don't even have to use the original trilogy. As like your, you know,
create something new, like Rogue One.
Yeah, well, that, or you can just go to the books. You know, like, there's so many different, like, stories just within the books. There's prequels, there's sequels. Like, find something new. Like, I don't know if you remember the old game Jedi Outcast.
That was actually the game that got me into gaming. That and Counter Strike 1.6. Yes.
Wow.
Got me into multiplayer gaming, actually. Not gaming in general, but multiplayer gaming. It was the first multiplayer game I ever played, because I'd sit around for hours and hours and hours and play that game, and I got so good that I would be the top of the score list every game I joined.
Yeah, like, I used to play that game a lot online. But, you know, you had the Star Wars universe, and you had Cal Katarn, who was a new character we had never seen before. So we got to kind of learn, you know, what he was all about.
And then what they did with Jedi Academy was like, you know, Luke Skywalker created this academy for people, which is kind of where Force Awakens kind of goes in a way, but they go after the fact of that.
Yeah. And there's actually stories that you can read, like books that you can read that take place between, episode 6 and Force Awakens, which tells all that story. But, you know, a lot of people never know that because, you know, not everyone's going to go out and read all the books. Now, granted, I know a guy who has. he even has all the audiobooks. Big Star Wars fan. Shout out to my buddy Josh Goldsberry. But, you know, there's a lot of story to be told there. And DICE, they're great game developers. The multiplayer is fantastic. But if you want to create a single player experience, don't just tack on a single player experience just to give us something to, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Don't do what they did with Battlefield 1. That was the thing. Yeah. It was like Battlefield 1 was just a tacked on single player experience. If they can give us a full on Star Wars experience, I mean, they'll kill Call of Duty next year, unless Call of Duty does something huge. And I don't see Call of Duty doing anything huge after Infinite Warfare, just because Infinite Warfare was a huge difference in single player, but didn't sell well. So they're going to go right back to fixing the multiplayer. I mean, I just don't know. Like, that's the thing is, like, we're not getting a Battlefield game next year. We're getting a Battlefront game. And Star Wars is always going to sell better than Battlefield because it's Star Wars. You know, what Call of Duty has to do a lot in order to beat Star Wars. I just don't think it can. So we'll see. I mean, we'll obviously we'll see. We talked about this for a little bit, but I'm excited to see what it is. I'm always excited to see what the new Call of Duty game is every year because it's just a phenomenon that's so interesting to see from just say interesting as a gamer standpoint, just seeing what they do every single year to keep this thing relevant. It's very hard to do yearly franchises. Look what happened to Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Yeah.
People got sick of it. They stopped making them. It took a bigger break. I'm hoping this Egyptian one comes.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You know, these companies are getting away with it because people are buying it. Like, I was buying every Assassin's Creed that came out. I'm not going to lie.
Me too.
Like, I bought the first one, and I bought the Ezio trilogy every time it launched. And I remember even saying to myself, like, every time one of them would come out, I was like, the last one just came out a year ago. Like, how do they put out
they have the game three so fast? They have three different people developing.
Right. Granted, I mean, they have Ubisoft's giant company, and you know, they have they basically immediately start working on the game as soon as one's done, and sometimes they use the same engine and they just kind of spruce it up a bit. But as long as people are buying them, they're going to put them out, and that's the same thing that Call of Duty is saying right now. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the sales of Call of Duty after Christmas, because if they, you know, if they spike and Call of Duty's like, okay, we're still selling these like hotcakes, so let's start making another one.
That's the thing about Call of Duty, too, is like, I personally buy them for the single player every year now that I don't really enjoy the multiplayer. And as long as they keep making single players that interest me, I generally buy them. Like, I bought Infinite Warfare because the single player interested me. You know, I bought Black Ops 3. Actually, my fiance bought it. But the single player was so bad, I was like, this is trash. And I traded it in right away. I was like, this is such a bad single player. So I was hoping the next one would be better. Infinite was better. Obviously, I don't think they can top Infinite next year. So I'm curious what they do. There's so much to do with Call of Duty. I mean, those are talented game developers. Granted, it's got to be rough working on Call of Duty every year, but no matter what, those guys are talented at what they do.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Call of Duty is a phenomenon, and those games are good no matter what you think of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single one has at least been good. There's never been a bad Call of Duty game. Even Ghosts wasn't that bad.
Yeah, like regardless of how people thought about the Ghosts multiplayer, the single player was really good.
It was just a little short. Game. I do like the space mission short, in that game. That space mission is really fun.
Oh yeah, definitely. So I don't know. Maybe Call of Duty's going to partner with DICE to make a Star Wars game.
I'm curious what Battlefront 2 will be. I'm hoping we see a reveal for that at the Game Awards here in a week or two.
You know, I've pictured what that would look like, and I'm really hoping that it's going to be storming Omaha Beach. Like, if they don't have a trailer of BF2, if you're storming Omaha Beach, I'm not about it.
Oh, I was talking about Battlefront 2.
Okay, so we need stormtroopers storming Omaha Beach. I'll buy it. Topic number two, bad news. Zelda Breath of the Wild was originally slated for a March release alongside the Nintendo Switch, but it has since been reported by Eurogamer that it has been delayed and will not release alongside the Switch.
Not surprised.
Pretty bummed about that, because remember, you know, I talked about before that, like, if Nintendo came out the gate swinging with the Switch with a good launch title that piqued people's interest, a big title that people knew, like Zelda, I feel like the Switch would launch really well, would sell really well at launch. Now, would Zelda being delayed, that's kind of a bummer. But at the same time, you know, it gives them a chance to, I guess, critique some of the things in the game and make sure it's ready upon release. I don't know when it has been slated for release now. I think it's kind of one of them things where, like, you know, they haven't given us an exact date yet, but we'll just have to wait and see. So hopefully we hear more in January. So
yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting. That's like the one Zelda I've actually been interested in. Obviously, I'm gonna wait till it comes out because I don't like the linearity. But that game looks like it's not linear; it's open world. But like I brought up earlier in this podcast, Witcher 3 is the standard for these type of open world games. And I'm, you know, especially RPG. I guess Zelda's not really an RPG, but still, it's open world. There's side quests and stuff. And I'm hoping this game does like side quests and stuff. And the problem is Link doesn't talk. There's no, you know, I don't know how well they'll do side quests with like characters outside of the main people. But you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do, because this is the first real next gen Zelda. I don't think Skyward Sword was really next gen.
No, Skyward Sword is trash.
Yeah. So
I didn't like that game at all. anyway. Final topic?
Final topic.
Ubisoft will reportedly be incorporating less narrative in its upcoming games. According to an interview with Le Monde, translation from GameIndustry.biz, Ubisoft's chief creative officer, Serge Hasquiot?
All of the above.
Sure. Oh, Serge H. He said that each Ubisoft game should be an antidote factory. While the game will have a story, the more freedom the player has in a series like The Watch Dogs or Far Cry, the more unexpected things can happen. Hasquiot wants players to express themselves and then share these unexpected moments with their friends. The first game to fully embrace this change in direction will be the next Assassin's Creed. Shocker. For the next Assassin's Creed, the designers have created a system in which what I do not only have meaning just now, but also long term. My actions will change the world. So I guess he's speaking first person here. That's interesting that the next Assassin's Creed is going in this direction, because Assassin's Creed is very story driven.
I don't know about this. I read this a little while ago, and I'm not really a fan of the way this sounds.
Yeah, I'm really not a big fan of it either, because, you know, a lot of people nowadays, and we've had these discussions on the Facebook groups before, you know, as far as, like, what makes a game? Is it graphics? Is it gameplay? Is it narrative? Essentially, it's all the above, especially nowadays, right? Like,
well, I feel like one of the most important things about video games, you know, is gameplay first, obviously, and then it's story. You know, I don't like playing games if there's no story.
Yeah, you don't like playing games with good story and bad gameplay either.
Yeah, so exactly. But gameplay is number one.
Right, and they go hand in hand, definitely. You know, and that's one of them arguments where it's like, you know, if you were stuck in a room for a week with one game, you know, what would you play? And you give your answer, and it's like, why? You know, why would you play that game? Is it because the story is that interesting? It could keep you entertained? Or is the gameplay that good? You could play it over and over again? I'm a big fan of gameplay, to be honest. I look at, like, Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain. I'm a big Metal Gear Solid fan, but I absolutely hated the story in the fifth one. I feel like it was just too rushed, too convoluted, and just, you know, which, granted, people could say that about all the Metal Gear Solids, but if you followed them all since the first one, you know, if you play and beat 4, it really explains it all. Like, it's super convoluted and weird and science fiction-y and Japanese, but it makes sense in the end, and it's, you know, a really cool story. But then Phantom Pain comes out, and it's like it's almost like they're riding on the license of Metal Gear, even though it was a Kojima title. But the gameplay was still great and still kept me entertained. But with games like, you know, Assassin's Creed always had a great story. And I really enjoyed them, especially like during the Ezio trilogy and all. But to come out and say, we're going to not incorporate so much narrative in our games, starting with a license that is very focused on its story.
It's a little funky.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. Maybe this is a good move. Maybe it's, you know, maybe they realize, hey, we don't put enough effort into our gameplay as we should. Maybe there's, you know.
Well, as long as there's no more towers to climb.
Oh, you know, there's going to be towers to climb. Come on. Assassin's Creed. You're going to climb up the tower. You're going to look around, and you're going to jump in a pile of hay. That's what you do.
Yeah, I don't know. This is so weird. It's so weird. This report was so weird when I first saw it. I don't know. It's just weird. This is such a weird report. It's worded weird. I don't know. The most important thing that has kept me playing games, even when the gameplay is bad, has been story. Mafia 3 has a phenomenal story, but trash gameplay.
Yeah.
And I still want to go back to that game and find out how it ends. But
The Order. Bad gameplay. Decent story.
Yeah, The Order. God. Don't get me started on The Order. That game. Man, I could probably talk another 20 minutes about that game, and I shouldn't, but that game. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't understand this report. I don't understand why you would even put this out. It just sounds stupid. You know, that's the gaming industry sometimes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been The Good, The Bad, and The Microtransactions, Episode 5. We greatly appreciate you listening. Reminder, this show is brought to you by ProvingGamer.com. Go to ProvingGamer and check out our news, our previews, and our podcast, including yours truly. Trophy Horrors, the flagship podcast, and Remember the Loot. And if you're into wrestling, there's a wrestling podcast on there called Smart Marks. Be sure you check that out. Be sure you rate us, review us, subscribe. We'd greatly appreciate it. And doing so, it helps the site out. If you need to get in touch with us, you can contact the show via email at gbm@provinggamer.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter at gbmpodcast. If you need to contact me, you can contact me at mgs_daniel25. That's on the PSN and Twitter. Nate, how can they find you?
So you can find me on PlayStation at Godly, which is Godly Fatality. Twitter, I'm at Godly Fatality. That's about the main reasons. I'm always posting on that Facebook, so if you want to tag me, you can do at Nate Nelson if you want to talk to me on the Facebook group.
Yes, we have a Facebook group. Thank you for reminding me. You go to Facebook.com, you go to the search bar, you type in The Good, The Bad, and The Microtransactions Podcast. It should pull right up. Click on it, ask to join it, and we'll let you in. And we greatly appreciate that. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, this has been The Good, The Bad, and Microtransactions, Episode 5. We'll see you next week. No, we won't be.
No, we're taking a week off. Next week.
Yeah, we are taking a week off.
We're taking a week off, but we come back, we will have impressions on Final Fantasy 15, the most hyped game of the last 10 years, and we'll also have our categories for Game of the Year 2016. And with that,
have a happy Thanksgiving.
Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you later, you varmints.